Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa, and today is Sunday, August 29th, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. The first reading today is from James chapter 1. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness. Welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word, and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves, and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Here ends the reading. And the Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 7. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who'd come down from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this weekend in worship, as I said, we're presenting Bibles to our third grade students, and one of the things that we'll say in the Bible orientation class we do with them is that your brand new Bible will not do much good, will not do any good, if it just sits on your shelf. Or if you hear it and you smile and nod and say, "Oh, that sounds nice, what a nice story." The Bible is much more than just a nice story. Some of you know that I really like Star Wars. I think it's an epic tale of good versus evil, heroes, villains, the best music, thanks to John Williams, of any movie in history. Lightsabers are awesome. The way the Jedi use the Force is really cool. I also like Harry Potter. I like that series. The books are better than the movies, but the movies are pretty good too. It's fun to imagine going to school at Hogwarts, being able to use magic. Both of those are great stories. The Bible is also a great story, but it's different because it's true. It's different because it's supposed to be more than just entertainment, something fun to read or to watch the movie versions. In the Bible, God is talking to us. God, the Creator. God is telling us who God is, how much God loves us. The Bible is the story of God making the world and the people of the world rebelling and God trying again and again to get the people to come back to realize God's love for them. It's the story of Jesus Christ being born into the world. Jesus is God in the flesh, the Creator come to us, God in person. The Bible is the story of Jesus dying on the cross to show us just how much God loves us, just how far God's love will go for us. And then Jesus rises again, defeating death, giving us eternal life. It's the greatest story ever told. But again, it's more than just a story. It's more than just a book saying God loves you so that you can smile and say, oh, that's nice, I like being loved. No, through the Bible, God calls us, calls you and me to do something. Because we believe God loves us, we want to love God back. That's what James is talking about in the section of the Bible that we just read. He says, be doers of the word, not merely hearers. The stuff you read in the Bible, the things you hear in church, the commandments God gives us are supposed to make us do something. James says, if any are hearers of the word and not doers, well, they're like those who look at themselves in the mirror and look at themselves and go away and forget what they were like. I don't care if you spend 2 hours a day before breakfast reading the Bible. If you ignore everything you read, as soon as you close the book, it doesn't do any good. God's word is intended to change us, to shape how we live our lives. Harry Potter and Star Wars don't do that. They're intended to entertain, maybe to inspire. J.K. Rowling, George Lucas are not trying to claim your soul. They're not trying to tell you how to spend your life. They're not talking about eternity. But that's exactly what God is doing through the Bible, through Jesus Christ, the living word, and the stories we read about Jesus in the Bible. In the Bible, God is telling us who we are as God's children. And calling us then to use our lives to love our neighbors, to glorify God. God is claiming authority in your life. God wants to be your God, your source of life, the one you look to for help, the one you pray and give thanks to. There's a verse in 1 Timothy, that says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It comes from God, and it's meant to be useful in our lives. If your relationship with God doesn't have an effect on the way you live, well then, as James says, your religion is useless. Your faith should shape the way you treat other people. Faith should affect how you spend your money, how you use your time, how you vote. The faith God calls us to, says James, is to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the faith we're welcoming Remington into this weekend as he's baptized, a living faith that has a claim on his life. Living your faith means hearing again and again the promise that God loves you, that God's love is enough. That's going against the world's claim that you're more valuable if you're wealthier or better looking or more popular, going against the world's claim that you need to follow the right diet, have the right job, hate the right things. The Bible tells you God loves you, period. Jesus loves you enough to give his life for you, to die on a cross for you. And then God, through the Bible, tells you, calls you to love others in response. We humans are really good at making it more complicated than that, focusing on the wrong things, on eternal things that are not the point, external things that are not the point. The gospel story in Mark today is a great example. In that story, the Pharisees and the religious leaders complained to Jesus that some of his disciples are not following all the correct traditional rituals before they eat. And in response, Jesus calls them hypocrites. He says they've taken human traditions and raised them to the level of God's laws. Notice, though, he does not say human traditions are bad. Jesus does not say to avoid washing your hands. The problem Jesus has is that these religious leaders have forgotten the point of the traditions. God gave them the laws so they could live God's way and be a blessing to their neighbors. Their life of faith is supposed to be a testimony to others of their God. Over time, though, these laws and traditions often turned into a way to judge their neighbors rather than to bless them, a way to separate themselves from those people, those unclean, contaminated people. They focused so much on the individual trees, on the specific details of the law, that they missed the forest. They missed the point of the law, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the heart of the Bible. They miss the good news that our love is always in response to God's love for us. They've lost sight of the point of faith that James talked about. Instead of being doers of God's word who let the love and the grace revealed in God's word shape their lives, they're stuck on human traditions. We can make that mistake too, right? At their best, traditions are beautiful, meaningful links to those who've gone before us. They're connections to the church's history. But we always need to be asking ourselves if the traditions are getting in the way of what we're called to do today as followers of Jesus. Do our traditions and our history connect us to the past, grounding us in faith so we can love and serve our neighbors like Jesus? Do our traditions help people connect to God? Or do we sometimes get so focused on external things that we forget about the central call to love our neighbors, care for the people around us, reach out to people with the good news of Jesus in the midst of a changing world? Sometimes traditions just get outdated. My favorite example is the classic story of the woman who always cut the ends off of her pot roast before she seasoned it and put it into the pot. And one day her husband asked her, "Honey, why are you cutting off that perfectly good meat on the end? You do this every time we have pot roast." And she answered, "Well, that's the way my mother did it." And then she called her mother and she said, "Mom, why do you need to cut the ends off the pot roast before you cook it?" And her mom answered, "You know, I'm not sure. That's just the way your grandma did it." And so she called her grandma and asked, and her grandma laughed at her and said, "I don't do that anymore. It's just that when your mom was growing up, I had a pan that was too small to fit a whole roast into." Sometimes traditions outlive their usefulness. Or a church example. Some people in our congregation were taught a very particular way of lighting the candles on the altar. How it's very important to start at the correct side and work your way to the other side to light them in good order. The problem I have is that the church that I grew up at did not have a candelabra like we do here. And so when people have asked me where to start, which end is the right end, I don't really know. And as far as I can tell, some people in this church were taught one way to start from the outside and work to the middle, and other people were taught the exact opposite, start at the middle and spread the light out to the outside. The tradition is not a bad thing. In fact, I appreciate people beginning worship carefully, intentionally. But the Bible does not say what order to light our candles in. So if that tradition were to ever turn into judging someone else for lighting them the wrong way, well, then the tradition is getting in the way of worship, getting in the way of people serving. We can worship in different ways, in different places, at different times, with different instruments and songs and prayers and an online message, as long as we are seeking to faithfully proclaim the good news of God's love revealed to us in Jesus Christ. The words that we use for confession, we're doing a different one in church this week. The words we use for confession do not have to be the same each week, as long as our confession is offered faithfully, trusting in God's grace and forgiveness. What's much more important than human traditions, Jesus says, are our intentions. Human rituals can be good or bad, but they're not the point. The Pharisees tried so hard to be faithful the right way that they lost the point of faith. The point is the thoughts, words, and actions that come out of us and whether they show love, whether they reflect God's love for us. How we worship and our traditions are important. Don't hear me saying they're not. Our traditions and our worship shape our faith. But coming to church on Saturday morning, Saturday night, or Sunday morning, or watching a sermon online, that's not the point of being a Christian. This is the pit stop. This is the time to refuel for the rest of the week. If you're driving somewhere, you'll run out of gas if you don't ever stop to get fuel. But if you just stay in the gas station parking lot, you're missing the point of your trip. You're not going to get anywhere unless you pull back out onto the road. If our traditions are to be meaningful, they have to point us to how God calls us to live, how Jesus tells us to live. They have to come from the intent to please God, the intent to love our neighbors and share God's love. Faith has to make a difference in our lives, or religion's just a waste of time. Even reading the Bible is not the point of being a Christian. If you don't let God use the stories in your Bible to change your life, then it's just another book. So church, as we enter a new season, a new school year, we're entering a new chapter in our life together. And in this new season, may the Holy Spirit help us to be not only hearers of God's word, but doers, doing God's will, living out God's kingdom. May we live out our faith not only here in worship, but in the rest of the week as well. And may God forgive us when we fall into that human trap of being more concerned about ritual purity than about loving God and our neighbors. Amen. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll see you next week.